This is the Siamese Herring Experiment. Take it away, Brian.
Good evening, Brian. It's great to catch up again this fine Thursday evening night thingamajiggy. We haven't spoken for a little while now about the context of the world and how things have been going, but one of the things I really want to discuss with you today that I think our attitude has got to be dialed down a bit. We've been way too serious in these podcasts. I think we were in the old days of the shortwave. We, you know, had a lot of fun, took the piss out of people. But we've been taking it way too seriously, I believe, over the last 200 to 350 years. And I think we should just relax a bit. The world's coming to an end. We've done our bit trying to fix up these Russians and the Chinese and the Biden administration and all the other clowns in the world. And it's about time we just took a bit of a pill, or more, maybe three or four, five, and settle down and have a chat like we used to do in the old days, Brian. What do you reckon?
Yeah, that sounds good to me, Brian. As you say, we've been really trying to help people across the world for decades now, and I think we've done a pretty good job, but we've moved on. We're getting a little bit older, and most people just take elderly people as an absolute joke.
Yes.
It doesn't matter that we've helped out presidents and queens, and I think it's time just to relax, Brian, as you say. The world's going to shite.
Yes.
It's real crumbling around our feet, Brian, so I think we should just relax and enjoy the last few days that the planet has left.
Yes, absolutely right, Brian. I think the people of the world, our lovely listeners from Antarctica through to Taiwan, Zimbabwe, Peru, London, England, our good old friends in Afghanistan.
Yes.
The crazy Americans with all their guns. And right through to Australia, Singapore, Botswana. I could go on and on and on.
Yeah.
That it's time to just get onto the mood of things that the world is coming to an end. It's over. The Americans are doing great things with their Supreme Court to make sure women have their own rights. And the discussion point, I believe, at the moment, Brian, is still about the guns in America. Everybody can have a sidearm and a bazooka when they walk the streets, much the same as we do out here in Australia. Not. But the thing is that if you're going to be armed and dangerous, you've got to talk the talk. Now, I've got a feeling Americans aren't talking properly anymore. Brian, what do you believe?
No, I think things are going awfully quiet in the good old US of A. I don't think there's been nearly enough upheaval in their system.
Mm.
So I think they really need to up their game.
Yeah.
You know, they need to get ahead of the curve to up the ante. So all Americans of all race, colour, creed can enjoy the last days on earth.
Yeah.
And I think this banning abortion will be really good for upping the population. And, yeah, of course, the more people there are in America, the more guns you can sell.
Right.
The Supreme Court's bringing a law that all newborn babies have to be registered and have their own firearms. They can start off with a 22 in the crib, and as they learn to walk, you can up the ante to like a Glock or a Smith & Wesson 45 automatic, and then it goes up from there. Of course, every school child has to have an automatic weapon these days. The teachers, they need some sort of anti-tank missiles.
Yes.
And that's just the start of it, Brian. That's just the handgun debate.
Yes.
We need more homeless people over there.
Yeah.
Definitely, there's not enough of them. And I think the Supreme Court is really on track to make sure that there's no one in America except Republicans and walking corpses, Brian.
A zombie style, Brian, you believe?
Zombie style, Brian. I think they'll all end up being zombies.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm looking forward to the day when your blueprints come out again for the inside rifle range or interior rifle ranges for schools. Now, you've had a rich history in building rifle ranges, Brian, for a lot of countries, corporations, private individuals. Most of the time, those plans have incorporated a bar, a barbecue, and a livestock pen. I presume the school one may be just a typical rifle range, because the Americans in their wildest fantasies believe that their children can't legally drink till they're 21. Now, most of them have finished school by the time they're about 23, so there might be the odd school that they can go put a bar in, which I think is just value-adding.
Yes.
You're very good at value-adding, Brian.
Oh, yes.
Do you think that you know, the Americans have the big rifle range where there's actually beasts running around and you can take pot shots at live animals?
That would be the sensible thing to do.
Yeah.
I think most school buildings carry on from a previous era. So we need to just totally change the way that the school system is set up, and we need to knock down every school that's around at the moment and just build one great big building. It's got one door in and the same door out, no windows, no other doors, and that'll make it much easier for the shooters when they come in the front door, and then everyone who's inside will just be one big room, and all your little kiddies will be there, right up to your, like maybe, I don't know how the American system works these days,
yeah,
fives or something. But like if a shooter walks in, then everyone can just take aim and start firing. I think that'd be absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
I don't think this should actually stop kiddies from drinking. I think they should be all served like mid-strength beer. Yes, the livestock would be good to have in there just to create a little bit of chaos for all of the shooters, and that'll be good for selling ammunition down the track, Brian.
No, you're absolutely right there, Brian. I know one of the things you talked to, I know you're talking to Ronald Reagan about this in the 1980s, because you were very good friends of Ronnie and Nancy and their dog Fido. Now, you wanted to incorporate at the time with Ronnie elementary schools and prisons. You thought that you know, the way that kiddies were going back then, and they still are now, that they need a direction in life, and if they're going to go to jail, they should get used to it early on. Have the like the main entrance to the school is the main entrance to the prison. There's a lot of tap downs or full naked body thingamajiggies. It gets the kiddies incorporated into the real world early. Weapons are obviously brought in by stealth, so the kids can get the full real world presence as they grow. They're not learning anything in school, obviously.
No.
You know, when lunchtime is, you know, when they go to the toilet, where the toilet is even, that's a big learning curve for a lot of these little kiddies over there. But the thing is as they learn a lot from the inmates, how you make a weapon out of just bits and pieces lying around, how you do the old garrotting of the bully. These are life lessons that are very important for a 7 or 8 year old, Brian, as you know.
Mm. Oh, yes.
I mean, we did it when we were in the cadets. You know, we learned a lot of stuff like that. Gave us what we call in our older years dignity.
Yes.
And I think there's a lot of these American kiddies that they're lacking dignity, and they're lacking social skills. Now, if you're not going to be around inmates, where are you going to learn your social skills? They're not learning at home. They're not learning it on social media. They're probably learning it at the public toilet. Now, the public toilet is a place of derision, of derogatory comments over the years, but it's a place where people learn all about their own bodies, other people's bodies. They learn about sex. They learn about torture. And they learn about other things in life that are very important, especially in the American culture, which obviously is head in the sand stuff. Now, head in the sand stuff, Brian, I believe, is something that maybe a goose might do, or a herring. No, not a herring. I don't know how it came up about that, but I did have seen a herring stuff a head into the sand a couple of times.
Yes.
But I'm thinking of an elephant. I mean, elephants always have their head in the sand. They're mental. Good eating, but they're mental. Now, Brian, do you reckon elephants incorporated into schools would be a big way of teaching kiddies how to fire guns?
I think it would be, Brian, because, I mean, obviously the whole place is one giant circus. So an elephant, there's nothing that says this is a circus. There's going to be clowns any minute. Then an elephant signals things out of order. even in Botswana,
yep.
where the elephants traditionally live, eat, breathe, go to school, play tennis. They seem totally out of place in somewhere like a school in America or in a prison. So that's the perfect thing because America's totally out of kilter, totally out of whack. It's insane. It's mental. You know, the ruling elite, the people that actually make the rules and have all the money, they don't go anywhere near the great unwashed that you can find in the average streets of America, the average states of America. All the people that have brains and money and power, they all live in bunkers under the earth. There's great networks set up linking them all across the world, these powerful, rich people. And they come to the surface every now and again and drag kiddies down into the bowels of the earth. And this is the way it is. I think we've just got to get used to this. This has happened since the Middle Ages and even before. There was some conjecture about King Herod's time when Jesus was walking the earth, that this is where it all started. Jesus was very intent on knocking down the system of power and commerce, but they nailed him up, which is what happens to anyone that raises a hand against the ruling elite. Now, for the rest of us, we've just got to make do, and it's a whole different set of rules for the great unwashed. Being born in a federal penitentiary would seem to be the most sensible thing to do. So why not get them started early, get them young? And this is what the Supreme Court's really moving in a great direction to totally accelerate the end of days, Brian.
That's it, Brian. You've nailed that perfectly. I think most of the American people realise now that their ways, their means, their actual... the promise of a better life is over. It's totally over. We know the Chinese are going to be taking over very soon. We've been discussing that in different podcasts over the years. Gough Whitlam's had a lot to do with that. And the Americans are just going to pull their head in and go, right, it's over. We've just lost the plot. And now we're going to bring anybody into the world who's, well, hopefully gun-toting. We love our gun-toting, they say. It's back to the Wild West days of Fido the dog and Ralph Lauren on a horse.
Yes.
Now, that's what I want to see, Brian. I want to see old men on horses again, like not like John Wayne style or Vladimir Putin on a horse with no shirt on. Don't want to see that again.
No.
But I want to see gunslingers in the streets on horses, Brian, in America.
Yeah.
Riding their bloody, their big bloody four-legged beast down Rodeo Drive, toting guns. I don't know what you do when you tote a gun, Brian. I presume you wave it around and talk willy-nilly about how your sex life's going, if you like chickens or masturbating ducks. No, no, no. I mean, toting to me is a word I've heard about in my life. I presume it's got something to do with maybe sticking it into somebody, like stabbing them with your gun because you're too stupid to know how to use it, which is obvious. But, I reckon, maybe even chariots, maybe the horse and a chariot. Bring back like Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
And bring him back.
Yeah.
And Russell Crowe can be on a chariot, big races. And if you lose the race, you just shoot the opposition.
Yep.
That's the American way, Brian. Yep. That's the future.
It is, Brian. I think the Supreme Court deciding now just how to ban the automobile. A few of them have said that it's an abomination to God.
Yes.
We're going down this track. It's a slippery slope where everything's just evil. And we need to ban it. It's ungodly, like God actually came down on earth and invented America back in the dim, dark days. And everyone else is bound to go to hell. And it's only Americans that will be going to heaven at the end of days, which is just round the corner. So they want to get their help.
Oh, no, absolutely, Brian. I think you missed one thing there that I'm sure the Supreme Court and the future presidents will be to ban common sense.
Yes.
If it hasn't, I've obviously been taken out already. I think that, you know, they're on a winner with their changing laws and getting rid of things that have been around for 50 years that were actually, you know, progressive. I mean, slavery's got to come back in, like, you know, seriously. They've got a lot of black people in America and they're going to waste. You know, bring back the cotton farms, you know, taking the tops off pineapples, because that makes common sense. You know, none of this, like, you know, everybody's got their own way in life and everybody should be able to decide. No, you've got to have the government or the Supreme Court making decisions on your rights and your rights. So, yeah, slavery's got to come back. I think beheading's got to come back.
Yes.
I think that, you know, going to the moon's got to come back. I mean, yes. That was the heyday for the Americans when they used to go up to the moon or go into the desert or wherever they used to do it. I'm not too sure. But they're landing on something.
They were.
Now it's all been privatised. You know, you got Muskie running around and Richard Branson and a couple of bloody other ex-Nazi people who live in America now. And they're all out there spending their money. Now, all that money could have been spent on maybe education, maybe could have been done on spent on getting the homeless off the streets, better healthcare. But no. The reality is America is a country of the free, the brave, the not so brave and the stupid. So I believe that, you know, they're heading in the right direction. I certainly hope Australia follows on and with a course of they're doing, and we become a republic by the end of next week. I'd like to think that, you know, Clive Palmer will be the supreme leader. We've always been pushing Clive's Barra to be the head honcho. I mean, he's got great form, spending lots of money on elections just to embarrass himself, and he'd be the perfect patriarch of this country. Now, Brian, I've got, you know, a bit of money in the bank. I'm willing to throw, you know, a couple of shekels at him or a rock and see what happens. I think he needs livening him up. He needs to put some more fat on his bones too, because he's only about 190 kilos, which is not enough, because if, like most Americans, the average weight over there is about 220 kilos or 445 pounds. But over here we talk in the metric system, which is a lot easier because, you know, you get your head around it.
Yes.
But the Americans, unfortunately, are stuck in the 1880s, gunslinging, child prostitution, sex with chickens. Now, we've had our day of doing that, Brian. I mean, you know, we love a good chicken, mainly to eat, and we've done a lot of crop dusting, which has got nothing to do with chickens, but we just still like crop dusting. Now, Brian, when we talk about the future, I know that you've written a lot of books about the future because you're a bit of a, you know, you get on the Ouija board and you like to do a bit of seance work.
Yes.
And I love being the assistant for you doing that. What do you see the future, Brian, when it comes to if the planet does survive this nuclear holocaust that's been started by Vladimir Putin? Where do you see the future lies for us?
I'd like to see that the division between the countries all across the world deepens. They're trying to build a bigger, better world.
Mm.
It's never going to happen.
No.
We just need to face up reality. Russia's doing a great job of trying to get rid of some of these nuclear weapons they've got laying around. It's only a matter of time before they let off a few nukes, and that'll be interesting. That'll really liven up the planet. I'm sure that once the nuclear bombs start dropping, that everyone will get on board, and they'll wonder why they waited so long.
Yeah.
And it's really going to make things a little bit tricky, Brian.
I agree, Brian. I tend to think that what you're saying is absolutely factual. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the way it's going, I'm really concerned about, Brian, that Australia maybe have a little bit of protection because we're on down the arse end of the world. But what are we going to do when there's no new flat screen televisions, Brian? I'm a bit concerned about that because, you know, that'll be the end of the world. And maybe even like our phones, like where are we going to get new phones from if everything else north of the equator is obliterated? Your likes of, say, Taiwan, England, Botswana will have to go in a nuclear war. I mean, that's the first target, I presume, because it's always been a bit of a scary joint. A lot of Americans and a lot of the English-speaking world always see Botswana as a threat, even though they keep it under wraps. But I know that, and we've had secret meetings over the years. We can't divulge all the information we know, but it's always been enemy number one. Now, enemy number two from there is like Canada will go. Like it'll just be pushed into the northern ocean there, thingamajiggy up around the Arctic region and turned into a big baseball field. Now, other than that, I can see a couple other countries that, you know, are going to really affect our lifestyle. I really think that places like New Guinea, which, you know, is just north of us up here, that'll be bombed. Because they couldn't get it right in the Second World War. Now, the Third World War, it'll be fixed up totally. There'll be a big rehash. And then Indonesia will get really pissed off because they're sort of like stuck next to them. Now, Indonesia is not the sort of country we want to piss off, Brian. That's why we pay them so much money. You know, the graft and corruption that goes on in that country, you know, you've got to keep them, you know, keep them all sluiced up with Australian dollars. Now, you know, they're going to be trouble. So I'd say that hopefully they'll get wiped out in a war, and we might get a bit of fallout, but we'll be right here in Australia because we've got the ozone layer hole still there, Brian, which will let all the nuclear fallout go out into the atmosphere above towards where Muskie lives. So, you know, when you look at the whole thing, we're in the box seat, as they say. Australia's... down where the where all the fumes come out into the upper echelons of the world thingamajiggy that's up there where the zombies live and where God lives. God's somewhere. I can see where he sort of lives now. I'm looking out. I know the Americans know where he lives. Some sort of like planet Zeus or something like that. I don't think it's Zeus myself. I think it's like. They talk about the dark side of the moon, Brian. We've been talking about the dark side of the moon before, you know, when there was light on it. And God lives somewhere up there on the other side. He's got all these hurricane lamps running all the time, 24/7 or 7/22, whatever he's, you know, whatever time frame he's on. Because God's got time. He's been around for a long time. He's got fucking testosterone problems, and he's very flaccid in the. His sperm count's down to zero. Not like in those heyday before Jesus came along, and he had sperm going everywhere. Semen. They used to call him Mr. Semen, and he used to love that as a bloody bit of a nickname. Because God's sort of like bloody God's. It's for God's sake. Or, oh, God knows, or, oh, God will be bloody upset about that. And he is. He gets upset over trivial things now because he's a fucking old fucker. And, you know, we can't talk to him. He won't listen to us. He doesn't take our emails or smoke signals or anything anymore, the prick.
No, he's becoming redundant very quickly, Brian. And this is what happens to the elder. You get to the point that people just see you as an absolute joke. And God's been a bit of a joke for a while now. But the Americans love him still.
Yeah.
They're very patriotic. They're very sentimental creatures, the Americans. They've got a soft spot for insanity, and they just love God. You know, Netflix or Stan, there's always new programs coming on about God, God this, God that. The gun-toting God of the American psyche is never too far away. I'd love to see a film starring Danny DeVito as God and Arnold Schwarzenegger back as Jesus. I think of Meryl Streep as a Mary Magdalene and Xi Jinping as Joseph, the electrician. Will make a wonderful film. And if they can pick up a couple of Oscars, then I think we'll be back on track.
Yes.
Where God is the center point of everyone's life. Not just the Americans. Oh, no. I think in deepest, darkest Africa, they need a bit of God in them to help with the starving masses. A belief in God, saying a few prayers, that'll fix everything, Brian. Locusts, famines, dust storms, and crucifixions. I think that's the way we need to go, Brian. The sooner we start bringing that into the school system, the better.
Absolutely right, Brian. I mean, that if the future lies in God, which, you know, obviously the Americans believe that, and, you know, we do here, of course, we're very God-fearing. We fear a lot of things. We fear ScoMo. Like, ScoMo's gone now, but we still fear him because he's rabid. And, you know, he's got two little fat kids that'll probably go into politics one day, and that's going to be trouble. But I'd love to see the new movie, Brian. I'd love to see the godlike creature dressed as a cowboy.
Yep.
Forget about these old robes and the beard and the grey hair and him sitting there picking scabs off his arms. I want him to be the hero that he is. You know, he's got the guns. He's on a big horse that's got large testicles. I don't want it to be a gelding. No. I'm sick of geldings. Yep. I want the testicles to be probably in shot every bloody time he's on that horse.
Yep.
Now, as he's riding along, Jesus is walking beside him, the great son that he is, and the prostitute, Mary Magdalene.
Yes.
Who's, as you said, played by
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep.
The only one for the job.
Of course it was. Meryl Streep. For some reason I had Tim Burton, for some reason, as Meryl Streep. But that's – I'm thinking of another movie. Here you go. You've got the god-like creature on the big stallion with a big dick walking along, trotting, cantering. And there's Jesus in his robes, of course. We don't want him dressed up too much because he's still stuck in the BCs. Yes. He's walking along. And he's admiring the dick and the balls of the horsey because he's that way. He's a raving homosexual and a bestiality freak. And that's to be respected in this day and age because, you know, you can't say that it's wrong anymore. He should be referred to as they or them because he doesn't know if he's a boy or a girl or a man or a woman. He's just a saviour. You know, he's had lots of the godlike influence. He was brought up by a prostitute and a plumber.
Yes.
And that's to be respected because they're working class people.
Yes.
Now, if he's on his, he's walking along, maybe he's on a scooter. That might be better.
Yeah.
On a scooter. That brings him into the current day.
Yes.
Electric scooter because he's conscious of the environment, of course.
Yes.
You know, his old man created volcanoes and that shit, but he's fucking really concerned about the fucking environment. Yeah. And Mary Magdalene's just on her back all the time. Meryl Streep would do that perfectly, Brian.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Sandra Bullock as one of the maids for the said Magdalene slut. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, so I'm getting the script in my head as we talk, Brian. It's going to be a big bloody production.
Yeah.
I can see Baz Luhrmann just absolutely smashing that with a big soundtrack.
Yes.
Tom Hanks will be in there somewhere because he loves Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks would be, I'd say, be God's uncle or brother-in-law, somewhere along the lines. He'd have to be like the one who's got the common sense and makes people laugh, but he's got a very bad mental condition in the background. So he needs a little bit of TLC. He needs to be always smoking dope, and he's always drunk. Now, they're the sort of people that God would have him around him, I presume, Brian, in this day and age. Probably there'd be a few kiddies wandering around being godlike, you know, there's God, we love you, God. I've got a couple of, a bit of rabies, can you help me, God? And God would be just too busy. God would just say, hey, you kids, fuck off.
Yep.
Fuck off. I've got better things to do than this. I've got the world to save. And, I could see that being a winner, Brian. I think, and, you know, it's obviously got to be black and white because, you know, that's the standard when people appreciate the films of when they're classics, you know, like it'll be colourised later, but it'll be black and white. There'll be a lot of crackling in it. Not pork crackling, but there'll be a lot of – the audio would be a bit stunted because God doesn't want to look like he's a superhero.
No, no.
He just wants to look like a man on a horse with a big dick.
Yep. Very true, Brian. I think the costuming department will be going into overtime. I can see Jesus, as you say, in his robes with a massive set of spurs hanging off the back of his sandals and a little vest, little vest made out of orangutan skin as he's walking down through the desert. I actually think he should be floating above the desert floor, land speeder style in Star Wars. Jesus floating above the ground in his sandals and his spurs with his little orangutan vest on and a little hat made out of some small children, maybe a couple of altar boys' skins, and a nice little ammo belt and a big old Glock, and maybe sort of toting any aircraft bazooka on his back just to show the people that he means business.
Yeah.
And I can see maybe Clive Palmer actually funding the whole operation.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, there'd have to be a Titanic in the background instead of an Ark. We could have Noah building the Titanic.
Yeah.
Yes, Russell Crowe could be in there somewhere being mad. He'd probably make a good leper. He could probably play all of the apostles.
Yeah.
I think just have a different hat on for each one. Baz Luhrmann, as you said, could maybe revive his flag and career with this one.
Brian, I just want to take it back. I believe, like Jesus, you know, he's the new thing. Realistically, he's the idiot, the family. The Holy Ghost is probably the most important thing. And the other thing, whatever it is, But he's like he's the problem child out of the whole lot of them. Now, I'd like to see him being walked around and stoned, literally being thrown rocks at him, just to get back in the days, you know, when that's what happened in the Roman days.
Yes.
Maybe a lion comes out and rips an arm off. That'd be, like, brutal, but... So you've got to have a bloody scene there, Brian. You know, you just can't be just all warfare and guns.
No.
Wild animals always pack the audiences in. They all get a bit of a fright. They all want to go home and buy a wild animal. They want to go shoot a wild animal. Now, the Americans would love that. They'd love to say, might go up to Yosemite and start shooting something.
Yeah.
Might go to Disneyland and start shooting something.
Yeah.
Give them an excuse to go to the house.
Yeah.
Americans need motivation. They don't need motivation to buy a gun.
No.
But some of those just need motivation to get up their big fat ass and go somewhere and do something. But this time, the movie, it's all the motivation you need.
Oh, yes.
Jesus and his slutty friends. And they go, fuck me, I wouldn't mind a bit of that action. I reckon I could do that.
Yeah.
As long as God thinks it's good, it's good by me.
Yeah.
So it'll be a winner, Brian. I can see, you know, I reckon we should put some money towards it.
Yeah.
Like we did towards Crocodile Dundee back in the late 80s when Strop said to us, hey, put a couple of grand in this and you'll be millionaires. And we did, but we didn't become millionaires, Brian.
After Crocodile Dundee, I mean, after all the effort we went in to get that film up and running, the taxation department came after us so heavily, Brian. They stripped us of the millions and millions of dollars that we made. And it took forever for us to get them off our back and send them on Paul Hogan's trail.
Yes.
They didn't want it. They said Paul Hogan was an absolute icon. He could get away with murder. No one would touch him. He's the only true Australian that this country's ever produced, apart from Chips Rafferty.
Yes.
But I think this Baz Luhrmann epic will be the thing to put the whole planet back on track, really.
Yes.
Because television's going to be banned in the States, so the only entertainment you'll have is to go to the great churches where they have films every Friday afternoon. And when you walk out and you feel all full of godliness and love, I think some of those wild animals could be tied up outside the cinema and people could just have a good shoot as they are leaving the cinema.
Yeah.
And they can go home covered in blood and just feel the love and the warmth of a new world that we're living in.
Look, Brian, there could be a variation on that. I think they might turn into a bit of a, like what they do for the NFL. I reckon they might back their cars and their big pickups and have the smoker on the back and maybe smoke a bit of a beast or a barbecue bit of the beast and have a few beers, maybe have 30 beers and then drive home.
Yeah.
Because that's what God would want. God wants people to have fun.
Yes.
I've got no problem with that. I mean, we've been drinking and driving for 50 years. While we've been driving, after we've been driving, during driving, before driving.
Yes.
It's just part of being a good citizen of the country.
Yeah. Brian, I think once we get the horses pulling the pickups, this will make for a safer road environment. And you can concentrate on leaning out the windows and shooting passers-by. If you've got the horse on automatic pilot and you're sitting in the back of your pickup, and you got your guns, it'll just make drinking, driving and shooting so much easier, Brian.
Well, this will probably alleviate the issues of the nuclear war because the Russians and the Chinese, they'll just see that the imploding of the American culture will be, they'll just say, well, we don't need to send any bombs over there. And then we can go over and take it over when they're all dead, which shouldn't take too long because God will have his way.
Yes.
Now, that's just bloody clever. I mean, you got to take your hat off to these Russians and Chinese. They really are good managers of people, Brian. Really good, solid people.
Yes. And then the ruling elite will be able to come out of their tunnels under the earth and join hands and sing and pray and dance naked in the burning embers of the planet Earth. And we can just get on with living then.
Be brilliant. All right, Brian. Well, look, I tell you what, that sounds great. As you know, I'm starting a learning how to speak Mandarin course tonight.
Yes.
After we get out of this podcast and have a few beers. I'm looking forward to shaking the hand of Gigi, having a couple of wobkas with Vladimir when they come down here in about 6 months' time after the invasions. And I want to greet them properly. And I know you will too. I know you're going to polish your wheelchair and buy some new set of clothes.
Yes.
And I think it's probably just the best thing to do in the circumstances. And looking forward to it, Brian.
Yes, and I'm just foaming at the mouth, ready and waiting for it, Brian. Bring it on, I say.
Yeah. Bring it on, Brian. Great talking to you again.
You too,
I think we better wind things up and we'll see you next time.
We'll do, Brian. Erden Durden.
Erden Durden, Brian.
Okay.
See you. Oh, hang on, we're off, aren't we?
Yeah.
Now, when you know that bit about God.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think we should maybe not put any money into that movie. I don't know.
I hate Baz Luhrmann. I can't stand him. He's a fucking moron.
Let Clive Palmer fund it. We'll just we'll just do some promos for him, okay?
Yeah, okay. Sounds good, Brian.
Okay, Brian.